Radio Prague News.
The husband of Ukraine's jailed opposition leader Yulia Tymoshenko has been granted political asylum in the Czech Republic. Prague Archbishop Dominik Duka has been named cardinal by the Pope. And the Czech health authorities have advised women who received faulty French breast implants to undergo repeat surgery. The husband of Ukraine's jailed opposition leader Yulia Tymoshenko has been granted political asylum in the Czech Republic. The Czech Interior Minister Jan Kubice confirmed the news at a press briefing on Friday afternoon, saying the request had been filed several months ago. The former Ukrainian Prime Minister was sentenced to 7 years in prison last October for abuse of office in what the European Union denounced as a politically motivated trial. The asylum granted to her husband, Oleksandr Tymoshenko, is the second high-profile case the country has dealt with in the past 12 months. Last year, it granted asylum to a former economics minister in the Tymoshenko cabinet. Meanwhile, Ukraine's ruling party of the region says the request for asylum was financially motivated, claiming that Tymoshenko's husband wanted to transfer abroad funds that his wife received from political sponsors. Prague Archbishop Dominik Duka is among 22 archbishops elevated to the rank of cardinal by Pope Benedict on Friday. The Pope announced their appointment following an Epiphany Mass in the Vatican and will elevate them to their new rank in a formal ceremony on February 18th. The 68-year-old Dominik Duka is the country's second living cardinal alongside Miloslav Vlk. The head of the Czech Catholic Church will thus join the conclave that will one day help elect the Pope's successor. Czech women with silicone breast implants manufactured by a French firm accused of using unapproved industrial-grade material should have them replaced, a health ministry spokesman said on Friday. The recommendation follows a consultative meeting of a commission of experts who met to weigh up the risks. Women who refuse to undergo repeat surgery have been advised to have regular checkups. It is not yet clear who will finance the operations, though the country's largest health insurer VZP said on Thursday it would cover the cost of repeat surgery for all women who undertook it for health reasons. An estimated 2,000 Czech women received the risky implants. The EU's debt crisis, energy issues and the state of bilateral relations topped the agenda of a meeting between French Prime Minister François Fillon and the visiting Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas on Friday. The French Areva is one of the bidders for the contract on the completion of the Czech nuclear power plant at Temelín. The two officials reportedly also discussed new possibilities in the field of scientific and technological cooperation. Prime Minister Nečas is also due to meet with French President Nicolas Sarkozy on Friday evening. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy to overcast with rain and snow in the higher altitudes. Day temperatures between 1 and 5 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, the Czech Republic will grant political asylum to Oleksandr Tymoshenko, the husband of the jailed former Prime Minister of Ukraine, Yulia Tymoshenko. We'll have the details. We'll also have the latest news from the world of business. And in this week's arts, we meet the painter Teresa Limanova, who fits her creative work into a busy schedule, which includes being a mom and a teacher.
I know that I have half an hour extra to do something, and I work really fast, and often these paintings, so-called under pressure, with not much time, are the best.
That's all ahead. Don't go away. The Czech Republic will grant political asylum to Oleksandr Tymoshenko, the husband of the jailed former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Mr. Tymoshenko reportedly filed his petition at the end of last year with the Czech Interior Ministry, which is resolved to comply with his request, according to the foreign minister. Jan Richter has the details.
Oleksandr Timoshenko, whose wife Yulia served two terms as the Prime Minister of Ukraine and was controversially sentenced to 7 years in prison in October, will be granted political asylum in the Czech Republic. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg told Czech Radio in no uncertain terms on Friday that the Interior Ministry had already agreed to comply.
Earlier this week, people from the Interior Ministry came to the Foreign Ministry to discuss the issue and its various aspects. It was clear from the talks that the Interior Ministry is resolved to grant the asylum. Then I met the Minister of Interior in the smoking lounge during a break in the government session and asked him whether this was true, and he said that it was.
The Czech daily Pravo reported that Oleksandr Timoshenko had links to the Czech Republic, as he is a co-owner of a trading firm registered in the northern city of Ústí nad Labem. The Czech Republic has also been one of the most vocal critics of the trial with Yulia Timoshenko, who last year landed a 7-year prison sentence and a multi-million-dollar fine for alleged abuse of power while in office. Her husband will be the second high-profile Ukrainian to receive asylum in the country. Last year, the Czech authorities granted asylum to Bohdan Danilishin, the former economy minister in Yulia Tymoshenko's government. His case sparked a diplomatic row between the two countries, but analyst Jiří Kratochvíl from Prague's Institute of International Relations, affiliated with the Czech Foreign Ministry, expects no serious repercussions.
Well, I think that a serious downgrading of Czech-Ukrainian relations is highly improbable. Most likely, I think it will be limited to certain diplomatic moves, such as calling off the ambassador, the Ukrainian ambassador, for consultations, or exchanging perhaps a little sharp diplomatic notes. But I think it will have no impact on economy, and neither will it impact such issues as visa facilitation or migration in general. We should not forget that many of these issues are not purely bilateral, and Ukraine's leaders will think twice before angering the European Union as a whole, and that's the example of visa issues and migrations, which are, as I said, not bilateral.
For his part, the opposition Social Democrat shadow foreign minister Lubomír Zaorálek says his party is not opposed to the decision to grant Mr. Timoshenko asylum in the Czech Republic.
It is a matter between the interior and between this who is asking, and I'm convinced that there are conditions for this asylum. If these conditions are fulfilled, I have no problem with this possible decision of Minister of Interior, and it's a priority now. I see no other option.
Meanwhile, the Interior Ministry, which deals with the asylum agenda, has refused to comment on the issue.
Jan Richter reporting there on Oleksandr Timoshenko's asylum request in the Czech Republic. If you'd like to comment on that story, please write to us here at Radio Prague. The address is english@radio.cz. Now we have all the news from the world of business next with Sarah Borufka.
An increase of the lower category of value-added tax from 10 to 14% has come into effect January 1st. The lower VAT is charged on products such as books and newspapers, medicine and food, as well as housing and accommodation. Business sectors that were hardest hit by the economic crisis, such as construction and tourism, are likely to also be most affected by the new legislation. Experts predict that the increase in rent for businesses will be felt across all sectors. The higher VAT rate has been decreased from 19 to 17.5%, with both rates set to be unified at 17.5% next year. However, some economists fear that a drastic contraction of the economy in 2012 may further deepen the state budget deficit and lead to an increase of this planned unified rate.
Czech online discount sites have seen record sales of 1.95 billion Czech crowns in 2011. According to the director of the discount search engine Skrz.cz, Petr Kovacik, some 5.5 million coupons were sold online in the Czech Republic last year. Sales peaked ahead of Christmas in December with a monthly volume of 302 million crowns. Most in demand were coupons for food and drink, cosmetic services, as well as leisure and tourism. Some 250 discount sites are currently operating on the Czech market. Their popularity has grown exponentially since they first appeared in the country just 2 years ago. In 2010, the sector saw sales worth hundreds of millions of crowns.
Consumption of hard spirits in the Czech Republic saw a drop by 3% in 2011, the weekly Týden reported. While Czechs consumed 60 million liters of hard alcohol in 2010, the figure dropped to 58 million liters last year. In 2010, the consumption of hard liquor dropped by 14.6% due to an increase to the excise tax following several years of stable sales. Beer and wine consumption were on the rise in 2011 by 1 and 4% respectively, with cheap brands the preferred choice for most consumers. Another hike in the excise tax is scheduled for 2012.
Škoda Auto sold a record 875,000 cars in 2011, which represents a year-on-year sales increase of 15%. In the first three quarters of 2011, the company doubled its profits as compared to the previous year, to 14.6 billion Czech crowns, or 588 million euros. The upwards trend was evident in the majority of Škoda's markets, with a remarkable 50% sales increase in India. Sales in Germany, Russia, and China were also dynamic, a company spokesman said. Škoda has announced that it is planning to further expand business in 2012 and will be introducing a new model this year. In 2011, the company had introduced two new models, the sedan Rapid and the smaller model Citigo. Škoda plans to be selling 1.5 million cars yearly by 2018.
The Czech Agriculture and Food Inspection Authority has confirmed that about 15% of the food products it inspected in 2010 did not meet its quality standards. In addition, cases in which producers deliberately rip off consumers are on the rise, a spokesman for the authority said. Jams, wine, honey, and cured meats were among the goods where the lowest quality was found. In one case, a sample of jam only contained 15% real fruit, while in another case, a wine sample was shown to consist of 73% water. Mechanically separated meat was found in meat products at 12 different retailers. The worst offenses against food quality are found in the lowest price categories as a consequence of strong pressure to keep prices low. According to inspectors, the relatively strict local food quality regulations were replaced by laxer EU norms after the Czech Republic joined the European Union.
Well, imagine that, turning wine into water. I wouldn't know what to think. 73% water can't be very, very pleasant experience drinking that stuff. Anyhow, you'll find more news from the world of business at the same time, same place next week. That was Sarah Borufka. And Sarah stays with us now for this week's edition of The Arts when she meets with Teresa Limanova, a landscape painter with a very lyrical style, who manages to devote time to her paintings despite a very hectic schedule.
Born and raised in Prague, Teresa Limanova captures the city in an unusual way in her paintings. She paints mostly landscapes, but in an abstract and reduced style that may well stem from what she describes as an almost obsessive fear of kitsch. Her latest exhibition, From Colors to Whiteness, From Jinonice to Košice, is currently on display at Prague 5's Town Hall Gallery and closes Friday. It focuses on the unusual sights and landscapes of Prague 5, a mostly residential neighborhood far from the golden steeples that most visitors of the Czech capital come to see. At a recent visit to the gallery, I asked Teresa when she discovered her love of painting and if she started painting as a child already.
I have to say that as a child, I always wanted to sort of please the adults as a painter, and I always wanted to paint things I see, the still life. I wanted to master the composition of a house. I wanted to make my mother happy, and I would paint a vase full of flowers. That she loved very much. I would please my father, who's an architect, and I would try to paint or to draw, let's say, a perfect chair with a cloth and an apple with all the shades. And that went for many, many years, this sort of pleasing that I have to master the reality.
Even though she loved painting, after finishing secondary school, Teresa went on to study French, Czech and English at Charles University, a decision that she doesn't regret.
I loved reading and reading foreign literature and also 19th century Czech literature, which not many people do so much, that actually it was like 50-50, and I didn't thought myself capable of being a real artist, probably. So that's why I didn't have it in me as something bitter or something I failed, fortunately.
Upon graduating from university, Teresa became a teacher, a profession in which she continues working to this day. She is also the mother of two sons, Manus and Finbar, aged 7 and 13. How does she manage to work, take care of her children, and still find the time for painting?
What's the best for me to choose 2-3 days in the week and then run home from school, be there at 2 at home and have 2-3 hours to paint and then probably pick up the smaller one, Manus, from kindergarten, and I might finish it in the evening when they go to bed. But I would have the most work done and I would sort of have this feeling of relaxation that there is no tension about a painting, it's here on the floor, kicked behind the radiator, the central heating. And when I have more time, I might tend, I wouldn't call it hopefully laziness, but it's a type of laziness probably, I tend to do painting slowly, and I probably need the pressure.
Her paintings, which combine oil paint and oil pastels on paper, are sparse and lyrical with lots of vertical lines and very few rounded elements. Teresa uses muted colors and a lot of white. A previous exhibition of her work was on display at Malastrana's Galerie Perla in 2010. It focused on the house in Malastrana where she had grown up and was titled One House, One Life. The artist says that she has come a long way from the very realistic style that she used in her earlier life, something that happened after her first son was born.
And after the birth of Finbar, I suddenly started painting things I liked and I wanted to, and it was a big liberation and freedom, and Justin used to mind Finbar a lot while I painted. And I suppose the process of liberating myself from what I should be able to do and I should draw and all the perfect ears and hands and toes and big toes and other toes which I used to practice are somewhere in my mind, but they are half forgotten and they don't have so much weight as they used to, the importance to master them.
Teresa works from photos of things that catch her attention and that she then renders in her signature abstract and lyrical style. She says that in many ways, being not only a painter but also a mother and a teacher has had a very liberating effect on her artistically.
I think that it's actually, for me personally, and that's just my experience, having these three roles helps me because I don't feel that responsible that I have to paint and it has to be a perfect painting and I have time and space and no one bothers me. That I squeeze exactly the painting between school and the boys coming home. But I suppose I'm lucky that a painting doesn't take me weeks. Or, you know, I don't use 10 layers that have to dry for hours. That would be very difficult. So I take it as something very, very, some gift that I need. I need the energy, the emotion, the marvelous photo for the future painting I've chosen a day, a week, a year before. It's there waiting for me, and it makes my life really energetic. There's a meaning to it. I know that I have half an hour extra to do something, and I work really fast, and often these paintings, so-called under pressure, with not much time, are the best.
Your husband, Justin Quinn, has been on our program several times, and he's a poet. How does his poetry and your art mix? Is there ever a time where he will look at your paintings and maybe it will remind him of a poem or something like that?
Well, there's a funny question which obviously has to arise, and I think I would have to talk, I could talk for many hours about that, so I'll try to be to the point and short. We talk about these things a lot, and it is about, you know, when we talk about who's going to wash the dishes, we might get into a fight, but when we talk about me painting, him writing poetry, and our experience, our fights, our gains, our new ideas, we love it, and we really sort of happen to be one person in a way, so that's a topic, and it's a time where we go over possible problems. I'm sure he feels the same. And he's a sort of, he would be called a formal poet. That form is very important for him, and sort of taming the wild emotions in a form. And I never saw myself as being a formal painter, and I work faster, and there are real wild emotions when I start painting. But in a way, there are many similarities when it comes to form, and I realize it more and more that I can be quite formal. And I remember that once Justin said, this is quite a good painting. I always ask him to come, and he never wants to see it because then he might be critical and I might be annoyed, so this is a problem. But once he said, this painting is not bad, but, you know, do 10 more of the same topic and you might get somewhere. That's very many years ago. And I was really annoyed, and he said, I might use it for my collection of poetry, which he actually did, finally. But I need this and this and this and this to be changed in the painting. So maybe if you start in the morning, you will find the right form in the evening. He bought me the last 10 papers, thick papers, in Boston, the time that were in the shop, because I was the only one who used to buy those. And I started in the morning, and he said, the first is not bad, and the way that they progressed, each painting was different, but still not to his liking. And I was getting desperate. Finbar was 6 months old, was getting desperate too. And then it was like 7, 8 in the evening, and I had the last paper, and I said, I think I'm giving up. And he said, no, do try. And somehow I was able to, the last one, because I gave up. And I just thought, I don't care. After 8 hours and 8 paintings, I gave up. And that was the one he said was the best.
With her exhibition drawing to an end, I was curious to see what Teresa is working on next. She told me that a well-known artist who had recently come to see her exhibition had given her some food for thought.
And he came to see this exhibition, saying that this is his first one in 7 years. So I'm really honored. And he wrote me a very critical mail saying that certain things he likes, but he thinks I would just let things go and I should paint something not connected with reality. So this might work as a trigger because it's been revolving in my head, this his opinion, and I don't really agree, and it pains me a bit, but I think that it's a good kick and I should start somewhere there.
Czech painter Teresa Limanová talking to Sarah Borůvka in today's edition of The Arts. Don't forget, you'll find more stories and features at our website. The address to visit is www.radio.cz. That brings us to the final portion of today's program, which is another edition of our language series, The ABC of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech. Today I'm here with Vladimír Tax.
Dobrý den.
We're back with the alphabet, and as promised, this time it's the letter D and doctors. Unfortunately, we all get ill sometimes, and even though we may not enjoy it, we have to go to the doctors. Today we give you a few basic expressions that should help you to get over the communication barrier in a doctor's surgery. The word for medical doctor is
lékař.
It is related to the word
léčit,
which means to treat or heal. but you can always get away with the international word
doktor.
If you need to consult a dentist, you should look for
zubar.
The word
zub
meaning tooth. In the worst possible scenario, you may find yourself at a casualty unit, which in Czech is
pohotovost,
meaning emergency. You may even need to call an ambulance or
sanitka.
But be careful, the Czech word
ambulance
usually has a different meaning than the English word
ambulance,
translates as outpatients department. But if you do need to call a
sanitka,
that is ambulance, the number is 155 in the Czech Republic. A pharmacy is
lékárna,
because that's where you can buy your
léky
or medicine. Hospitals are called
nemocnice
in Czech, because that's where one goes when one is ill or
nemocný.
A doctor's surgery is called
ordinace.
Before you are invited in, you have to wait in a
čekárna
or waiting room until the nurse
sestra
asks you to come in by saying
další prosím,
meaning next please. Once in there, you'll need to be able to tell the doctor what's wrong with you. Here are a few useful phrases. If you're simply not feeling well, the best thing to say is
není mi dobře.
If something hurts or aches, Czech uses the verb
bolet
in the appropriate form. So, I have a headache is
bolí mě hlava.
Literally, my head is hurting. Likewise, I have a stomach ache is
bolí mě břicho.
If you have a toothache, you simply say
bolí mě zub.
And when complaining about a sore throat, Czechs say
bolí mě v krku.
Literally, it hurts inside my throat. I have a cough is
mám kašel.
And I have a fever is
mám horečku.
Are all those expressions making you unwell? Let's hope you'll never need to use them when you come to this country. But if you want to be on the safe side, you can just look up the ABC of Czech on our website and recap today's program wherever you are. And that's all from us for now. Until next time, bye-bye.
Naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková and Vladimír Tux ending that edition of the ABC of Czech. That brings us to the end of today's show. As always, you can find more discussion on the net at Radio Prague's Facebook site, and also you can tweet on Twitter if you so desire. Also, contact us here at the station anytime with any questions or comments. English@radio.cz is the address to write to. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for joining us, and take care.